Oh, thank y'all very much. Let me just jump right in and say thank you. Welcome to Washington. I know most of you travel a pretty good distance to be here, so thank you for being here. I hope you enjoy your trip, and I know the House Ag Committee is marking up their bill just right around the hall and down the corner, so I'm sure that you'll be getting frequent updates on that. The Senate finished their work on our ag bill yesterday, our farm bill yesterday, so we'll see, you know, how this process is going to work. We'll talk about that in just a second. But first, let me talk about my favorite subject, me. And that is, I'm chair of the Ag Approach Subcommittee, which I'm really excited about. I mean, we're going to be able to do a lot of good things, and I kind of run through the various things we do, but on the Senate side, it's pretty much identical to the House side with one small change. But we do the entire Department of Agriculture, with the exception of forestry, and we do FDA. So that means all the rural development stuff, all the food safety stuff. I mean, so much of the entire department, which has a very broad jurisdiction, is under our subcommittee. And basically what that means is we fund what they all do, including FDA. And so it's a good place to be. I'm excited about it. You know, obviously the goals when you start putting legislation together are things like, you know, clearly it's going to be supporting our farmers and producers. It's going to be things like, you know, looking out for rural America. And that's one of the frustrations I've had over the years is I feel like a lot of times rural America really doesn't have a seat at the table here in Washington when decisions get made. The kind of rule of thumb would be is if it's a one-size-fits-all solution, that usually means it's bad for rural America, right? So that's just kind of how it goes. So you need someone there who understands that and appreciates that and is trying to advocate for a little flexibility or some different treatment for rural America, because it's just not like these big urbanized areas. And also, you know, one of the things we're in right now is we're in a downward budget cycle. I mean, our federal spending is getting tighter and tighter. The Budget Control Act of 2011 put hard spending caps on federal spending and going out for 10 years. And so what that means is we're going to continue to feel that squeeze. If you think it's bad right now, just wait 2, 3, 4 years. It's just going to get harder and harder and harder to find federal dollars. But what that means is, from my standpoint, is we have to get the most bang for our buck. We need to be very, very serious about efficiency and getting the very most we can out of every ag dollar we spend. So the way our subcommittee is going to work is we're having a series of hearings. We've already had the first two. We had FDA in, talked about their budget, then had USDA with the secretary in. We talked about their budget. And then we're going to have two more hearings, and they're going to be about the USDA budget, but in more detail and more specifics. And that's going to be more like the undersecretary level and others. And we're going to actually at that point talk about programs and funding and issues that deal with the programs. With the secretary, it was more of a big picture view of what the department's doing and how the pieces fit. And so now we're going to look at the individual pieces over the next few weeks. And then the next thing, and what all this leads to, is we will be writing the Ag Appropriations Bill. We're excited about that. We feel like it's going to be very bipartisan. I have a great partner in Roy Blunt of Missouri. We have a great subcommittee. We feel like we're going to be able to work in a very bipartisan way, going to get the bill through the subcommittee, through the full committee, and to the Senate floor. And we hope this is part of the Senate really getting back in business. You know, Senate did a budget this year for the first time in a few years. We're going to try to do all of our appropriation bills on schedule, try to get them to the floor, try to get them moved through the floor. In fairness to the leadership in the Senate, it's been really hard to do that the last few years because of all the filibusters. You know, if you're going to filibuster every bill and even filibuster what they call the motion to proceed to the bill, you're going to take 3 or 4 days on the floor just to get on the bill. And that becomes impossible. And that's kind of what we've had to deal with the last few years. I know there's a lot of finger-pointing in Washington about, oh, it's your fault, blame game, you know, it's in full swing here. But truth is, everybody's at fault, you know, Democrats and Republicans. And we need to all do better, and certainly in the Senate, I think we will do better this year. So you all know a lot about the Farm Bill that passed the Senate yesterday. I think, like me, you're still probably digesting some of the details, but passed out of the Senate 15-5, pretty much bipartisan. I think there's one Democrat and four Republicans that voted against it, but pretty much bipartisan, broad-based bill. It does cut $23 billion from the deficit over 10 years. So here again, we see that, the budget squeeze. You're going to see that in a lot of these bills. That's what you call an authorizing bill. You're going to see that in a lot of the authorizing bills and the appropriation bills about how they're just going to continue to squeeze those dollars. And you think $23 billion is not a lot over 10 years, but still, if you think about it, that's $23 billion over 10 years. That means things aren't growing. You know, that means you're pretty well holding the line over a 10-year period, which is important, and it's hard to do. One of the things I was glad to see in the Senate version that came out yesterday is I was glad to see that some of the commodities on the southern end of the scale got treated a little better than they did last year in the Senate bill, most notably rice, but there are other things. One of the things I remind people up here, and I think sometimes people up here forget this. They don't connect to agriculture much anymore. They don't connect to the land, unfortunately, is that agriculture is one of the core strengths in the U.S. economy. We do agriculture better than anybody else in the world. Everybody wants to be like us. They try to copy us. They try to emulate what we're doing. So it's a core strength. We need to build on that strength, and it's not just about our domestic food supply, which is huge, but there's lots of other pieces to it, and it's just absolutely critical to our economy. One of those things that we were able to get in yesterday is the bio-preferred program that has been on the books for a long time, but it hasn't applied to domestic forest products. So here again, we're going to allow U.S. producers, in this case of softwood and hardwood, we're going to allow U.S. producers to get a little more consumer attention. There's a stamp on these products, and there will be a stamp on these products, and a federal government procurement preference. So here again, that helps U.S. producers, helps the U.S. economy. We can talk about some of the other specifics in the bill if you'd like, but let me just talk about the outlook very quickly. I'm pretty confident that the Senate will get to this bill relatively quickly. I don't think we have a firm date on when it'll come to the floor. I know there's some talk about it coming as soon as next week. I'm not sure that's going to happen. You never quite know in the Senate. Things are a little elastic there. The thing about the Senate that you need to remember is the Senate can be incredibly frustrating and slow, but it can also work frighteningly fast. So I don't know exactly when Senator Reid and others will be able to get this bill to the floor, but my understanding is they'd like to get it there sooner rather than later, and there is some talk about trying to do it next week. We'll see. And I think we'll do it, and I think the Senate will pass it. You know, in our chamber, you're going to have lots of amendments, lots of debate. That's part of it. So we'll have lots of amendments, lots of debate. It probably will change some as it gets on the floor and comes out of the Senate. Then the big question is, what will the House do? You know, last year the Senate passed a farm bill. The House couldn't get their act together, and the Senate bill ended up dying on the vine over here. So we'll see what happens. Let me just run through a couple other topics very quickly, try to answer a couple of questions. I'll get out of your way. I know you have others that are on the way that are going to talk to you. First, on the Senate side today, we're working on WERDA. We think we're going to pass it today. So I think we're going to get the final passage today. There was some amendments, some about flood insurance and other things that were being worked out yesterday. I've been part of some of that, not all of that. But anyway, that looks like it's in pretty good shape. I was able to get an amendment in the WERDA bill, which you all will want to know about, and it has to do with on-farm fuel storage. We were able to pass that or get that amendment adopted into the WERDA bill in the Senate. So assuming it goes through the Senate, which I think it will, and eventually here to the House and pass, signed by the President, that means there will be some relief for those folks those farmers who have on-farm fuel storage, which is most of them, I think. I mean, I'm not sure of any that I know that don't. But nonetheless, it's a big deal. We set up kind of a three-tier system where they're either exempt or they can self-certify, or in some cases, if they're big enough, they have to go through the process. But nonetheless, we think this is the right way to do it. I think it's common sense. We think it's a big win. Also, something that constantly concerns farmers is EPA regs on pesticide, among other EPA regs, but pesticide regulation. I'm a co-sponsor of the Sensible Environmental Protection Act, and that's to try to reform our pesticide permitting program. So anyway, we're working on that. The other big effort I'm working on in the world of regulations is I have a bill with Senator Portman, who's a Republican of Ohio. And Rob Portman's been great. He's a great colleague and great to work with. We've filed a bill last year, and it's on reg reform. And it's not just like narrowing, you know, singling out the EPA or, you know, Department of Education or whatever. It's really the way we regulate as a government. And it's called Portman Prior. If we are able to get it passed, and I think we've got a good chance of getting it passed, it really will change the way and modernize the way we regulate in this country. Our Administrative Procedures Act was written back in the 50s and 60s and really hasn't been changed much since. There's lots of things it does. We can talk about the details. But basically, we want better, smarter, and even faster regulation. We understand that regulation is going to happen. You need regulation. Congress can't make all these decisions. You see how Congress acts anyway. So you need good regulation out there, but it needs to make sense. It needs to be reasoned. It needs to have a basis in the statute and things like that. So Senator Portman and I have the Portman Prior legislation that we'll be working on. By the way, we filed it last year, and when we laid it out there, of all people, the American Bar Association has a section within the bar on regulation and administrative law. Well, they just got it and totally chewed it to pieces, you know. But it was good because they really did work through every line of it, and we adopted a lot of their suggestions. And so it's been a good process. I mean, I think the bill we're filing this year is much stronger and makes a lot more sense and will work a lot better than the bill we filed last year. So we kind of pick on the ABA sometime, but we do appreciate them. And also, well, we can talk about this, but I'm a big supporter of ag research. That's one thing that Secretary Vilsack focused on in his comments to the subcommittee, and I think that's smart. It's one of the ways we continue to innovate. It's one of the ways we keep the competitive advantage around the world, and it's something I hope that we will continue to fund. Even in the tight budget times, I hope we'll continue to fund ag research. So with that, let me open for a couple of questions, and then I'll answer whatever. Yes, sir. You know, I'm not a big advocate. I'm all for making government work better, and if we can find ways to streamline things and consolidate things and eliminate duplication, I'm for that. And I'll certainly talk to anybody and sit down and try to work through that with anybody. But some of the ideas that I've seen coming out of the administration just don't make sense to me. So, for example, one is they're trying to take USAID, the funding, the Food for Peace program in the Department of Agriculture, and trying to move it over to the State Department. I think that's a terrible mistake. Lots of different reasons I think that's a big mistake. But one of those reasons is because politically, when the first thing people want to cut around here when they're looking for things to cut, it's foreign aid. And so you're just taking this program and putting a big old gigantic target on it and saying, cut me. I don't like that. And I like the way the Food for Peace program is structured right now, because we're spending U.S. tax dollars on U.S. products, and one of the things they want to do is cut that cord and allow the USAID folks go out and buy this on the world market. If we're spending these dollars, you know, federal tax dollars, we need to be spending it on U.S. products. So I just have a lot of problems and several other problems with that, but I I'll look at the if they make those recommendations and those suggestions, I'll certainly look at them. But they have to kind of make their case to me, and I'm not satisfied yet. Yes, sir. Thank you. Well, thank you. Well, you know, in spite of what all the talking heads say, the only way you get things done is to do it in a bipartisan way. I mean, it doesn't matter. And usually, just on average, usually that happens on the Senate side more than the House side, not trying to take away from the House, but because of our rules and because of the way we're structured and the size of our body, the deal usually gets done in the Senate. And you know, we need folks who are willing to set the partisanship aside and really look at the policy. By the way, what I tell folks, I'm in my reelection cycle, and I'm getting all these out-of-state groups, these third-party groups coming in there, spending all this money against me on both sides, liberal and conservative. And so what I tell folks, I said, and it's true, the reason they don't like me is because I do two things. I read the bill, and I listen to the folks back home. I thought that's what senators are supposed to do, but these other groups don't like it. So let's do one more question. I see we have one of my colleagues coming. Yes, sir. Right.
And though as farmers get smaller, our ability through not only transportation but the electronic media as well, I would question them. I'm not telling you your job, but I think there's some really serious cuts that could be made there. There's a lot of waste.
We had this problem where they try to consolidate some offices in our state like that. And, you know, we had, like, the county courthouse say, hey, they can use our space, just give it to them rent free, and the USDA said, oh, we can't do that. You know, so we've been fighting this fight with them. We need to find efficiencies, and if part of that is co-locating and if part of that is office sharing, I mean, you know, we need to find ways to stretch those dollars, because they're going to be under increasing budget pressure to shrink or go away completely. And you know, those FSA offices in our state are just absolutely critical. And it is true there's not as many farmers as there used to be. But the truth is, and you know this, you can't just go all online, because a lot of these people don't have an online to go to, right? I mean, you know, by nature, where they live and where they work and where they farm, they're, you know, it's hard out there for a lot of them. So anyway, we need to be very reasonable and continue to work to try to find the savings, but also to make sure those services don't go away. That's one of the problems, is the service, it runs a big risk of going down. Listen, I'm going to get out of your way, because I know we have Senator Johans here, and he knows about 10 times more about this stuff than I do. So thank you very, very much for having me.